You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hello to everyone tuning in. We're a Boston Celtics fan site that covers everything Celtics, from the latest trade rumor to that other trade rumor to the Nets picks and how exactly Danny Ainge got his free Chipotle for life card. No one knows, honestly. The pod covers all the same topics our site does, but a little more freely and from a weekly point of view. Best part of it all is we're talking about it from a fan's perspective. We'll cover last week's games and major stories as well as a look into the week ahead. We'll change things up as the show evolves, so let us know if you want to hear something or anything special comes to mind. I'm Mark Allison. I'm here with my man Topher Lane. What's up, buddy?
How's it going?
Good, man. Good. So we had a 4-0 week here for the Celtics. We knocked off three Eastern Conference playoff teams. Lots to talk about. What do you think the story of the week is?
It depends on what your perspective is, right? So from a Celtics perspective, from like a good Celtics perspective, you know, those three teams, you know, the Pacers was a great game. Obviously, in all of these games, we kind of slipped in the fourth quarter, games that we had pretty comfortable leads, and we saw kind of those leads kind of slip away in the final 12 minutes. But, you know, from just a basketball perspective, Devin Booker with 70 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's unreal.
Yeah, and, you know, you can say what you will about it. You know, Tommy Heinsohn was kind of trashing it from the color commentator spot, saying, you know, well, Bradley wasn't there, and, you know, like, back when one of the guys who put up 70 previously, you know, he didn't have a 3-point line when he did it. So like, is this really that impressive? It's like, well,
yeah,
you're right, I guess, kind of. He only put in 4, but you know, whatever you want to say. So yeah, that's as a basketball perspective, I think Booker's 70-point night kind of overtakes the week of news for for Celtics fans, unfortunately.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny that after the game, like, the comments from the Celtics, ESPN was tweeting out, like, comments from Isaiah as if he was, like, you know, if he was downplaying the importance of it. And I think what Isaiah was saying was, and they took it out of context, was that it was strange the way that it happened. And it was strange because – They were feeding him the ball at the end of the game and just, you know, I mean, he was launching stuff up. And I mean, he was hitting. But I think it was more of a feel-good thing for the Suns. They have something to harp on, you know, like that kind of an achievement. And, like, now it puts Devin Booker on the map. I mean, people thought he was going to be good anyways. But, I mean, to drop 70 points, I mean, that was pretty special.
Yeah, it was the definition of stat stuffing, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely. Fouling us to get him the ball back.
Calling timeouts to advance the ball when they're down by, like, 15 with, like, 2 minutes left. It's like, right. Just they were putting so much effort into giving him this stat. And I don't know if the goal was 70 or, like, what the kind of watermark was for what they wanted to reach.
It was amazing how quickly he got to 70 once he hit like 50. Like, mm-hmm. I remember watching, and you know, he was getting hot in the third quarter. I think he had what, 20 at halftime maybe? And then the other 50 was in the second half. It was something like that. I don't know exactly what the numbers were, but that's about what it was.
Yeah, I mean, he lit it up and he was all over the place.
And when he started, you know, chugging along, saying, "Oh wow, he's got 40 something," you know, and then, you know, there was maybe like 5 minutes or 6 minutes left in the game, and I'm like, "Oh geez, he's got 52," you know, and then and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't exactly remember the times. I just remember looking and being like, "Oh, now he's got 60." Like, Jesus Christ, like it was unreal.
Yeah, and the nice thing was, it's kind of, there were two sides of it, right? So it was a pretty boring game otherwise. And right. It was kind of droll. It was just going on through really the first half. Like, the Celtics were killing it, you know, and it was just kind of a typical, it was a beating.
Yeah.
And then Booker starts heating up, and there's kind of something to be engaged in to, like, watch this happen. And that's why I think Celtics fans, at least from watching it on CSNNE, you know, Celtics fans were into it at the Garden. They were, like, excited for Booker putting in all these points, because I don't think there was really any threat of the Suns winning that game.
Right.
And Celtics fans still got to see some kind of history. Granted, it was against their team, but...
Right. Yeah, no, I agree 100%. They must have been, you know, kind of restless. We're up 20 at some points, you know? Mm-hmm. And then even though he closed the gap a little bit, the game was never in question.
Yeah, and so... I think that's probably the biggest story of the week as far as
absolutely. I mean, it was the biggest story in the NBA this week.
Yeah. So I did like your point though. Three of the wins that we got. So the Wizards on Monday, the Pacers on Wednesday, I think.
Yes, yep.
Yeah, and then who was the third team? It was the Pacers and then Miami.
The current eighth seed right now. We just were fresh off that game, ended about a half hour ago as we were recording this.
Yeah, so those that one we I think was the closest as far as like actually escaping that game.
Yes, yeah. I mean, yeah, it was that felt like a playoff game, you know. That was that Miami team is going to be a tough out for whoever plays them in the first round, cuz they play a pretty good team game, and they spread it around. They don't count on like one guy to do a lot of anything, you know. I mean, I guess Dragic's the probably the leading scorer, right? Like 20. But they spread it around pretty good.
Yeah, and so this is the last look at Miami. We've swept them. So, like, as far as
right,
if we were to see them in the playoffs, it seems like it wouldn't, at least on paper, it seems like it wouldn't be very difficult. But if you think about it, I mean, IT had to put up 52 the last time that they met. And, I mean, just it takes everything that we've got to take down this Miami team.
Yeah.
I think the 4-0 record against them is kind of misleading in the sense that they really match up with us really well. I mean, Whiteside alone just kind of manhandles our front court because we just have nobody that can keep up with him on the boards. And really, he just, if we can't pull him out of the paint,
right,
he just stops Isaiah in his tracks every time down the court.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only time tonight that Isaiah had that, he had that huge bucket against him at the end when he drove in and was like, right up against him, and Whiteside had his hands up in the air, like it's like they're touching the rim almost, and and somehow he got the bucket over him, but he got swatted a few times coming in there, and because he's that reach is just unreal.
Yeah, and he's got his like trademark block where he just grabs it out of the air, and it's like a slash block. I don't even know how to define that thing. It's just insane.
He's really good, and it's, you know what it is too, like, they're a team that spreads it around and stuff, but like you said, like they give us trouble because they have like a dominant big rebounding guy plus that, you know, and it's tough for us to match up with that, you know. We don't have a mauler inside, you know.
Yeah, and if we're not shooting well, I think the three is really their weakness, the Heat. And if we're not shooting well from outside, then that causes a lot of problems because it's tough to start offense inside against the Heat with Whiteside as the rim protector.
Right.
With even their other guys. I mean, there was this other dude who I don't think I'd ever heard of. I'm gonna pull up this box score. But you know, he was, you know, ripping down rebounds, and he was playing pretty well at the rim when Whiteside was on the bench. His name was like Thien or something. Oh, Willie Reed. I had never heard of that guy. I guess he's on a rookie contract. Or some tiny deal, but I had never heard of him, and he
went 3 for 3 with 6 rebounds.
Yeah,
pretty good.
His impact was kind of insane.
Yeah,
especially in like the second quarter when we were trailing and having a lot of trouble. But yeah, so good week for the Seas. They kind of continue this run against teams they may see in the playoffs. They hit the Bucks, who just got dispatched by the Bulls.
Yep,
they see them. They've got a couple days off. play on Wednesday. And that's going to be it's going to be interesting to kind of see this like taste of the playoffs, because we saw Indiana, Miami, and Milwaukee, all teams.
Yeah, these are all potentially first round matchups, right?
Yeah,
depending on how it shakes out. It's really more on their end than it is, well, as much as on their end as it is ours, because as right now, mathematically, we're tied with the Cavs, although we're, you know, percentage points down because they still haven't played two games. Those three teams are all like one game apart too. So, or maybe one and a half now that Miami lost tonight. But yeah, so it's really going to be the final three and the top, you know, although it's the top two, looks like it's going to be us or Washington. I mean, us or the Cavs. I mean, it's going to be, you know, any three of those teams could play any three of the other teams. You know, it's pretty wild.
And just as like a mini preview, obviously, I mean, just in the quick discussion we've just had, Miami would be our least preferred. If we can avoid them, that'd
I think
best, right?
Right. I mean, the thing that troubles me with the Pacers is like they pretty much would have the best player on the floor. I mean, even though Isaiah is having this otherworldly season, I mean, I don't think many people would argue that Paul George is the best player on the floor. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're just not playing well right now, and then Milwaukee's a little interesting because I think Antetokounmpo is a ridiculously crazy matchup. He's a difficult guy to defend.
Well, yeah, there's no clear-cut defender in the entire league for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, he's a wild card, you know? And they just got Middleton back, but, I mean, they did lose Parker, so.
Yeah, the Bucks actually are playing some of their best basketball of the year. And going into the playoffs, that's a really good spot to be in. We see him two more times.
Is that right?
Including Wednesday. We close out the season against them.
Okay. Yep.
Both at home.
Which could be a rest and rest game if both teams have their spots locked up too.
Yep. Could be.
So we may not actually get to see that. So this game this week is going to be pretty interesting to see. Mm-hmm.
So let's kind of pivot this, right? We're talking about the playoffs. Obviously, we're less than a month away from playoffs kind of going. We're all thinking about where seeding is going to go out. And Justin, I think you said, wrote about this, is the Celtics in the Eastern Conference now have the highest odds for the title, according to 538, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't fathom how that's possible, right? Like, we have our star, we have a big two that includes a 5'8" guy, 5'9". I really don't include that. Hard to use big to define that. We got, two star players.
Yeah.
And then you got the Cavs who have, like, you know, their starting lineup includes like three guys who went number one overall.
Right.
It's like they've got the most insane roster. How do we have higher odds than the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, we've got the big two and like a core four, right? I see what I think is I would think that, and the way it's worded is that we have the highest title odds. I wouldn't doubt that Cleveland probably has better odds to get to the finals. But I think that maybe we're a better matchup for the Warriors than Cleveland is, and that's why we're percentage points ahead of them. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, 538 is insane with like the numbers that they crunch and how they do it.
It's pretty good. This past election aside, the presidential election, and they're usually spot on.
Yeah, so it's I'm really interested to see how it shakes out. I mean, obviously these predictions can be completely far, like they can have no accuracy whatsoever. And title odds,
how do you really gauge that? There's obviously all kinds of factors too, injuries and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So that's obviously, Celtics fans would love to see the Celtics take a title, but I don't think anybody came into the season thinking Banner 18 was in the cards.
Well, everybody, don't get your hopes up too much. They gave us a 6% chance, so against the 51% chance of the Warriors, who are by far the favorites.
I remember a couple of years ago, I was talking to my friend, and like we took like 2.1% odds after the Isaiah trade. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know a lot about Isaiah, but I was like, oh man, 2%, here we go. It's going to happen. I was like, this is sweet. We're moving up in the world. My friend was like, dude, stop it. You're being you're being idiotic. Think 2% anything. I was like, dude, that's all I care about. I want to win a title. It's happening.
You got some odds, right?
Similarly, Brad Stevens, first time with a winning record as a Celtics head coach or NBA head coach.
Yep.
One of the same.
pretty remarkable. I mean, because you figure what? Last year we finished just over 500, right?
Last year we finished 40.
No, 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 no. I'm sorry. It was the year before that we finished one game under 500, right?
I think so.
And then his first year was obviously a losing record. I think we won like 20-something games that year.
Yeah, because I was going through all the crazy stuff. And yeah, I think we finished in Isaiah's first season 42 and 40. Or did we? I don't remember.
Yeah, but, yeah, I think that's right. Yep. Two games under 500, right? Or one, technically. I don't know how you say that.
Yeah, it took like the seventh seed.
Yep.
Yeah. And then,
that was the year we got swept.
Yeah,
but last year,
second seeded Cavs. They might be the second seeded Cavs again.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, I do you think there's any indication the Cavs as a two seed haven't won a title? As a one seed, they win. Any connection, do you think?
Yeah, right. So maybe we can keep them out of there and knock them off again. We'll see. It's been a long time.
Yeah, well, so yeah, we're right now tied for the one. If they lose tomorrow, the Cavs, or Monday, I should say.
Yep.
And they go up against the Spurs on Monday. If they lose, the Celtics take a half game lead over the Cavs for the one seed. What are kind of your thoughts on that? Do you think that we're deserving of the one seed right now?
I mean, hey, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. it's their record. I mean, it seems more that the Cavs are. I don't think the seeding is important to them, and you know they've rested LeBron and they've rested some guys some games, but at the same time they're just not playing very well right now, and obviously they're missing Kevin Love, and that's a big deal. But they're you know it's. They're not putting a great product on the floor right now in terms of basketball wise. I mean, they're losing games to, I mean, they lost to Washington the other day, which is,
understandable.
Whatever. Right. But they've lost some other bad games recently.
Yeah. Denver, for instance, put up something like 140 points on him. And the clear issue is defense for the Cavaliers. It's that they are just playing horrible, horrible defense. And Kevin Love is not the answer for that.
No.
You know, like his return is not going to sit here and like
he'll grab you some rebounds and score some points, but he's certainly not Mr. All Defense.
Yeah, it's like whatever they're paying all these players, you'd expect translate to like an all around great product. Their defense right now is I think it rivals, you know, like the Nets.
Yeah,
I think I was looking at a thing on. I think it was ESPN, and like their last 10 games, they're sitting at like the bottom five of defensive rating.
Yeah, it's like that's not a good look.
It's bad for a team that's trying to contend for the title, you know.
But maybe even though Kevin Love is not like the greatest defender, maybe his presence helps Tristan Thompson. You know, his size in there, maybe that helps him. You know, protect the rim better, and I mean, maybe it has like an effect on the other guys. Even though he's not like an all-world defender, you know?
That or they're writing like I love you letters to Timofey Mozgov.
Yeah, right.
Like they're like doing, we miss you. We want your room protection. Not what anybody thinks about Timofey Mozgov anymore.
Yeah. I think it goes to show you why they went after Bogut though, and why they wanted to add him because of what he means defensively. And that probably would have helped shore that up a little bit.
Has Larry Sanders logged a minute yet?
I don't think so. And I don't think he should. When we were talking about Larry Sanders before this, I said I didn't think he was going to help anybody this year, you know? And I think he would have been better suited going to a team where he could play this year, like a non-playoff team, you know, instead of like chasing a ring.
Well, the Cavs are desperate.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, he was playing in the D-League at first, wasn't he? Or I thought that was the intent anyways.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't been following it. I completely forgot that. I was just kind of like saw that he was signed by the Cavs, and I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm just never going to pay attention to.
Yeah, I don't think – I'm going to look it up, but I don't think he's played, and I don't think he's going to. I mean, 2 years of rust. I mean, it's not like you can just jump back into the, you know, the NBA. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he had fantastic instinct in, like, just, you know, high ball.
Right.
Just, like, just defending guys, not going up for pump fake. He was just a really phenomenal defender. And I think that's, I mean, obviously, teams were trying to invest in his potential. And I think the Cavs, you know, obviously are hoping that he can return to that form, ideally sometime in the next month and a half.
Yeah.
But
how much time left, right?
Yeah, how much time does he have? But, you know, you touched on it. You know, resting players, Cavs. That's part of why they are sinking right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anybody's saying like, oh, well, they're not going to make the championship. But how the Celtics haven't had the opportunity to rest, in part because we give up these fourth quarter leads. You know, you go into the fourth.
Right. If we don't have, you know, some of our guys out there to close it out, then it's even worse. Right.
Yeah. So do you think it's going to hurt the Celtics that we can't, or at least we haven't had the opportunity to be resting anybody?
I think a lot of the guys don't have as many miles as other teams because of all the injuries we've had. I mean, Horford's missed a lot of games. Avery Bradley missed a lot of games.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Isaiah is probably the one that could use a rest, not necessarily because of the beating that he takes. I mean, you see how many times he hits the ground, you know, face first, you know, going to the hoop. And maybe they can rest him here and there. I mean, they did last week against which game did he sit? Was it the Philly game? I don't know.
Well, he
sat out one of the games last week weekend.
He was sick, so he missed the road trip.
That's what it was. Okay. Yeah. But I thought that was a sneaky way for them to sit him, whether or not he had a bone bruise or something like that. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Small
injury.
Yeah, and he probably would have played through that if, you know, that was a regular – if that was an important game. But we were going on that trip. They figured they could win both games. They did beat Brooklyn, but they lost to Philly. So, but I think, you know, they can give him a couple blows between now and then. We still play Brooklyn again. And you would think, like I said, that last game against the Bucks has potential for us to not matter, you know. So there's another opportunity there too.
Yeah, well, I'm not a huge fan of resting guys. As far as, like, I know there are conversations in, like, the commissioner's office and stuff about, you know, teams like the Cavs resting all their stars at the same time. And, like, that game we talked about a while ago where it was Spurs-Warriors, and literally, like, we recognized one guy in the starting lineup of both teams.
Right.
It's, like, it's obviously bad for fans. It's important for these guys to get rest. I mean, it's an 82-game season. It's a grueling season.
Mm-hmm.
And teams like the Cavs and the Warriors and the Spurs have the ability to rest because, you know, they have such deep rosters and they also have, like, a good cushion on their lead in the standings.
Mm-hmm. And to some of these teams too, I don't think home court is such an issue. Like, I don't think the Cavs, it's not as important to them to get home court advantage as it would be for the Celtics, I think.
True.
And granted, we're a pretty good team on the road too, but I'm just talking playoff wise. We're a team that gets amped up. We, you know, they feed off the crowd, these guys. So I think for Cleveland, they don't necessarily need – I mean, they've been there before. This would be their third year in a row in the finals if they make it there. You know, and a lot of these guys are the same guys that have been on that team. So
why pause?
I don't think they're as bad. So, you know. Did you just hear that?
I did hear that. Those connections.
I was reading the Larry Sanders article in a Cialis.
I was trying to make a connection to, like,
well,
these guys are old. They need rest, but maybe they also need
Cialis.
Something. Yeah. I don't know how to make that. We'll edit that out, maybe.
No, we'll leave it in there. It was fun. But.
You know, as far as, you know, the resting goes and stuff, the Cavs, the title odds I don't think are an indication of what's going to happen with the Cavs, you know, because, like, I agree they're probably going to make it back to the finals. You know, maybe a couple teams give them a run for their money in the playoffs. This is probably the most difficult path through the Eastern Conference that they have, mm-hmm. and that they will have for a while at least.
Right. There's some good teams, right?
Yeah, there are some good teams and some good challenges. So, like, the Wizards, for instance, are a team they'll likely match up against at some point during this mm-hmm. playoffs if they don't match up with the Celtics first, or, like, you know, one of these teams, along with Toronto, who right now is falling, but, you know, if Kyle Lowry comes back and he's feeling good, they're a dangerous team.
Yes.
But, you know, any of these teams can heat up in the playoffs, and even the Bucks, for instance, can be a good team in the playoffs. So, you know, it's really hard to say what the Cavs will have to go through, whether it's a Heat squad that, you know, they're young and mm-hmm. They get amped up and they start playing out of their minds, kind of like Cinderella style, which doesn't happen nearly as often as it does in, like, college basketball. But still, I mean, I could see the Heat play him in a tough series, similar to how the Hawks did 2 years ago, I want to say.
Yeah, and you know, up against his old coach, Spoelstra, you know, he might have some ways to attack LeBron that, you know, other people aren't, you know, as keen to.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, the Celtics, we're playing some of the best basketball we have all year, at least all around. It's, I mean, like, some dude who I'm amazed with is Amir Johnson.
Yeah.
You want to talk about guys who may need rest. Like, he was getting beat up against the Heat on Sunday night.
Yeah.
He was just getting, yeah, he was getting pushed around in the post. He had to deal with Hassan Whiteside, which is like a guy who's like 10 years younger than him or something. He's just like massive and like probably
he's got a few inches on him too.
Yeah. So like Amir was really holding his own. He was, you know, he's scoring. I think he was perfect from the floor at the end of the game.
Yeah. 6 for 6.
Yeah. He had a really good game. And Amir has been really stepping up alongside Jaylen, who really looked confident on Sunday night. IT, who's just continuing to do Isaiah Thomas things, and Al Horford, who's playing phenomenally, probably the best basketball he has as a Celtic.
Yes.
Over the course of the past couple of games.
Yeah. And tonight he wasn't scoring tonight, but he had 10 rebounds and 8 assists, you know, and he's a huge presence in the paint.
And he was nearing a triple double, like in the third quarter, I think.
Yeah. He might have missed it by the points. He only had 7 points, but he had 10 and 8. Yeah.
So I'm optimistic. Jay Crowder, for instance, I mean, we were talking about it a bit when we were playing Brooklyn, and he put up like 25 points, 11 rebounds or something. And I was saying, Jay is a guy who plays when we need him. You know, he's always there to try and plug in the holes that we have and try and find the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Even against the Heat, he was coming through and putting up some points in really big situations, because we were really struggling to find that scoring option for a while. That's why we were trailing so long against the Heat. And Jay kind of came in and acted as a spark plug in a time that, you know, sometimes Gerald Green comes in and just kind of sparks the offense, or some random guy off the bench. But in this case, it was Crowder, who's been playing pretty well in all aspects of his game.
He's shooting from the outside almost 39.7%, which is by far his career high. So, I mean, that's probably, you know, a product of, you know, obviously Horford spreads the floor a little bit more. People have to pay attention to him. And Isaiah being such a monster this year, you know, Crowder gets a lot more open three-pointers than you know, he's ever gone before. And he's shooting more than – he's shooting 5.5 a game. Last year he shot 5 a game, but shooting 33% last year to 39% this year. That's huge difference.
And that's huge for the playoffs for the Celtics themselves, because you think back to the past two rounds, the last two times we made the playoffs, I think both were against the Hawks. And in both situations, the first one was against the Cavs, but spacing the floor was the biggest issue. Isaiah could not get into the lane because it was just so cramped in there. We couldn't pull the center out. We just couldn't space. Because there just wasn't anybody who could shoot there. It was basically just Avery Bradley. And, you know, last year he was just going through an injury and stuff, but we had no one who could space the floor. Now you have Horford, who can kind of at least pull out to mid-range. He can hit threes if he needs to. He's been kind of fading away from that. But you know, you have Jay Crowder out in the corner on the wing. Bradley, Smart, who has developed well. He's kind of tapered off a bit in the last couple of weeks from his three-point game. Kind of gotten back to his instinct of just heaving up contested threes, but hopefully can kind of solve that. But now there's that spacing that gives Isaiah the ability to do what he really thrives at, of like cutting into the lane, getting crafty, you know, putting up those insanely acrobatic layups. And that's what I think is so important about playoff success, is that we can space the floor. And Jay's kind of metamorphosis as a shooter, especially from the corner, I think that's going to go a really long way in the playoffs. We kind of shrink those lineups and still have those shooters around Isaiah to let him do what he does best.
Check this for a Jay Crowder stat. In effective field goal percentage, which for anyone that doesn't know is, so they calculate, you know, your 2-point field goal percentage, and then your 3-point is measured by the fact that it's, you know, you're getting an extra point. He's 19th in the entire NBA with over 56%. You know, he's in most of these guys that have this kind of numbers, they're big guys like Enes Kanter's here, Marcin Gortat, Steven Adams. But the guys that are smaller guys that are in here are elite players. Like we're talking Seth Curry, Steph Curry and Seth Curry, but that's pretty wild. Kyle Lowry, Karl Anthony Towns, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Otto Porter, and Jay Crowder. So that's pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah, those advanced stats are insane. Mm-hmm. Just like what you can kind of find on players with that like kind of calculated advanced stuff. That goes back to like the 538 things. It's just like the ability of these people to kind of manipulate numbers to find, you know, really good ways of describing players.
Mm-hmm.
So did you do the mailbag podcast?
So me and Lewis did the mailbag. That was fun. We had a lot of fun doing it. So we're definitely going to do it more often because at least once a month or so, because that was pretty cool. It was interesting to get some different questions from people and, talk about that, then just talk about whatever we think's important, you know?
Yeah. I haven't gotten a chance to listen to it yet, but I'm kind of excited to take a listen when I'm driving sometimes, just kind of hear what people wanted to ask and kind of hear your guys' responses.
Yeah, it was pretty good. We got a pretty good turnout. We didn't get to answer every question. I mean, I think we took like five or six of them because we talk way too long when we talk about things. So maybe next time we'll try to be a little quicker about that, you know, so we can get to more of them.
Yeah. I'm definitely gonna have to check that out. And for listeners, send us questions for future mailbag pods, whatever we decide to do, because totally we could use them. It's fun. It's a good time.
It's fun.
we have a good time here on the podcast. All that peanut butter and jelly stuff that's going along in the NBA is a thing.
Yeah, I didn't read that, so I don't even know what the story was with that.
Basically, the 2008 team, Kevin Garnett, I think, was just like, "Yo, peanut butter and jellies are the best for anything," and then it just caught fire, and now the entire NBA is just like, that's like a thing, like it's like a staple, a locker room staple. I don't know how to describe what it would be, but thanks to like Kevin Garnett and the 2008 Celtics. It's a huge.
And maybe
huge
that crash. Spread so well because like so many of those guys left those teams like in the ensuing years, you know, like that were on that team. A lot of those guys moved, like James Posey, Glenn Davis, Tony Allen. Those guys all went to play for other teams. Maybe Ray Allen. They played for other teams, and that probably is how it spread so quickly, right?
I kind of just imagine like the big baby like sitting in a locker room, just eating a peanut butter and jelly, and just like players being like, "Dude, what?" What's that? He's like, "Oh, yeah, it's a peanut butter and jelly."
Oh, man, you don't know about the peanut butter and jelly? Yeah.
And I just kind of imagine that. And yeah, I don't know why it was like such a big deal, why like every sports site was such a huge fan of it, but like, it's cool. It's fun. I like have started eating them a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know,
add that to the diet. I mean, who doesn't eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches all the time?
People who.
It's an easy snack.
Yeah. It's a quality option.
Yeah, it's nutritious too.
Yeah. And then you are our go-to Terry guy. Terry Rozier is a god, right?
Why is TZ the god? That was one of the questions we got from the mailbag, actually, and we just didn't answer it.
You have an answer for it? Yeah.
I mean, just watch the guy play, that's all. That's all you need.
Let this game do the talking, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll show you highlights, that's all you need.
As long as he's not missing layups, he's the man.
Even then.
Yeah, still the man.
Well, we hit on most of the recap, you know, 4-0 week, Philly, or well, I guess if you want to include Philly, it was 4-1 week, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, if we're going Sunday to Sunday.
Yeah, so we'll start Monday, Washington, Indy, Phoenix, Miami, 4-0, fun week. I was happy. It was a good week.
For sure.
Any big things to note from the games that we didn't hit on already?
70 points. I mean, the Indy game was a good game.
Paul George went off.
Like,
I was watching that and I was like, man, because this is also kind of in conjunction with the Nets right now climbing at an unprecedented Brooklyn rate. And, you know, the Nets pick seemingly looking less and less likely to be, you know, best odds of getting the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching Paul George and I was like, man, this would be so cool if he was shooting in green, you know?
Oh, dude, that 37 was a cry for help. Please trade for me this offseason because this team is a mess. What has Larry Bird done? Did you hear when he was talking before the game? I think somebody blogged it on our site, but he was talking, he was very complimentary about the Celtics, and they were asking him like what has happened to the I think it was Abby Chin that was talking to him, maybe Chris Forsberg, asking him, you know, what, like, what's going on in Indiana? He just sounded like a defeated guy. Like he was like, yeah, man, we were in the Western Eastern Conference Finals like 2 years ago, and
yeah,
I'm the only player that's still on this team. Like, and he was like talking like my role has changed, and you know, I mean, I'm always supposed to be the best scorer and the best defender on the floor, which is what I've been doing for years, but now I'm also like the senior statesman and like the, like just, he just sounded, it just so like let down, like that they haven't been able to surround him with talent. Like, and he really liked that team that he was, who was on that team with him 2 years ago?
It was George Hill, right? At the,
okay. Yes. George Hill. Yep.
Danny Granger. Danny Granger, who just came out of this game. Are we talking about the really good one that like?
Yeah. What was that? 2 years ago or 3 years?
I think it was 3 or 4.
Oh, okay. So maybe it was longer than I'm thinking.
Yeah, a little bit longer ago, but like Roy Hibbert was.
But they did make it to the conference finals 2 years ago too, didn't they?
I don't think so.
Maybe not. I could be wrong. But yes, Roy Hibbert. That's right. And he was still an animal then. And
David West was insane. They had a ton of fun players. And then the personality of the team was Lance Stephenson.
Mm-hmm.
He's really fallen since since he like whispered sweet nothings in LeBron's ear.
He fell. I think he's playing in the D League now, to be honest.
No, he signed a contract with a mini.
Oh, okay.
And then went down with an injury in his first couple of minutes. So like it's just his career is like he's gonna need some complete jump start or something. I don't know how he's gonna fix that, but
yeah,
he's that was
that's right, because David West really fun team. Spurred us to play for that team. I mean, that we were trying to get David West that last year. I think it was 2012, right? The last big 3 year, and that's when he went to he chose Indy over us.
Yeah, I think so.
It was either 2011 or 2012, whatever it was. But I remember that year thinking if we got him, that would have been a huge difference.
Yeah, and so like at the trade deadline, right? Like basically Larry Bird was like, we're really just trying to surround Paul George with people to make us back into a contender. And then I think they got caught up in Paul George's trade talks and forgot that they had wanted to do that.
Yeah, and just didn't trade for anybody, right?
Yeah. It's like they were like, oh, cool, people want Paul George, but we want a ton of stuff for him.
Yeah.
And then, like, it was 3 o'clock, and they're like, oh, whoa. We forgot to make calls to get people for Paul George.
Yeah. So they still have an opportunity to do that this summer, I guess, you know?
Yeah, he's got another year, but...
They've got him and Miles Turner, so they have two building pieces there. Jeff Teague's a good player, but I'm not... He doesn't, you know... I know Justin likes him a lot, but I think he's a good player, but I wouldn't think he's like a building block, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what they do, whether he gets traded, or you know, or just walks on them, you know. Mm-hmm. Next year they have to take that risk.
Yep. So that was a good win, and then yeah, Phoenix. It was a convincing win, and then you had a guy who also scored 70 points, so that's cool. Yeah,
it was a fun game to watch, for sure.
Yeah, it was like a really good mindless game.
Yeah.
You know? If you want to like really be invested.
That's a perfect way to describe it.
Yeah, you could just sit there and be like, oh, cool.
This guy's scoring a lot.
Look, offense. Oh, they're fouling. They're calling. It's just like, oh, that's well, yeah.
And then you got Tommy. He wouldn't be doing this if Avery Bradley was out there.
And then they were so skeptical about the calls. I was like, I don't care. Whatever. If the refs want to blow the whistle, like it doesn't make a difference to me.
Right. No kidding.
Yeah. It was a fun game. I'm right now living in Lansing, and so Devin Booker grew up kind of around here, so it was like kind of a big deal here.
They got it up on the sign at the local diner. You know, on the billboard.
Look,
Devin Booker, 70 points.
Yeah, it's like the one nice thing going on around here. and Al Horford's sister's here, so that's cool. We've got
that's right. I remember you talking
stuff going on.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's basically. There wasn't a ton else going on as far as the week went. The Miami game is close, probably closest game of the week.
It was a fun game to watch too.
It was
a little back and forth at the end. And you know, it looked like we were going to pull away with it, like late in the third there.
Yeah,
and we were up 10 at one point, I think, and then they just kept coming back. And that team is pretty what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. They keep coming back.
Yeah,
they don't give up. You know,
Yeah, they're
they made it a game, and they took the lead at the end there, and then I thought we were going to lose, and then came up with some big plays at the end.
Yep,
Marcus Smart with that ridiculous bounce pass through traffic to an open was it Isaiah or open Jay Crowder, buried a three at the top of the key. That was cool.
It was a good game, and it was a good finish to the week. But I do want to kind of look at. I was talking about it in our chat. I want to look and see how the Celtics do on Sundays because we just look so laggy.
Yeah. From that, the only game I remember us looking great was that Chicago game where they just didn't even get off the plane.
Yep.
But other than that, like last week we lost to Philly. I mean, even without Isaiah, we should have beaten them handily, you know?
The Suns, that game that we lost.
That's right, I mean,
it was really the first, like, 36 minutes we weren't really playing basketball.
Yeah, right.
and then we decided to play basketball and still lost because of giving up those like 5 points in 4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So like just Sunday, I want to look at that, and maybe I'm just only thinking of the bad ones, but I do want to see how the Celtics do on Sundays because it feels like we're just constantly just it's our worst day of the week.
Yeah.
They
get the Sunday scaries like the rest of us get, and we have to go to work on Monday.
They just want the day off. They just want to relax. They just want to watch football. upcoming week, we talked about it, Milwaukee. That's going to be a kind of interesting game. They've been really on one of the best tears of the year. Chris Middleton is back. My friend and I call him Kate Middleton.
Kate Middleton.
He's got the initials, so works out. They're playing the best basketball season, and he's been a huge part of that. And it's going to be an interesting preview possibly of the playoffs for sure. And then we hit up Orlando to round out the week. It's gonna be an easy week.
So essentially we've played our first round matchup in the playoffs after we play that game within the past week. Yeah. Like from Wednesday to Wednesday we've played whoever we're gonna play in the first round, and hopefully have won all every game. Yep. So that's good.
There's a good amount of time to rest. They got Monday and Tuesday off, Thursday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's only three games this week, right?
Yep. Yeah, and then match up with the Knicks next Sunday for a day game. So we'll see if my Sunday theory is true there.
The lethargicness.
Yeah, especially afternoon games. I feel like they just really...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just me. I don't know. And that's also our first game on the road is we only have three road games left.
Yeah, and
the rest of the season.
What do we got? So we got that Knicks game, and then we play Cleveland. Is that a back-to-back?
No,
it's Wednesday. It's going to be ESPN, so we get a good break there. Wow, we really have a pretty good schedule to finish the year.
Yeah, we have
a break between that Cleveland game. And then, so that is a back-to-back after. We play the Hawks the next night in Atlanta. And then Saturday, and then we only have three games left. It's the Hornets away, and then we finish off at home against the Nets and then Milwaukee. And those, I mean, potentially we could be resting starters for both of those games if we wanted to.
Could be.
Depending on, where the standings sit.
Yeah, I would also be concerned about the standings for the Nets, who are like slowly climbing close to the Lakers, who are just playing horrible, horrible basketball.
Yes.
But what else is new in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm. So,
so it's going to be, obviously, we'll keep up with what's going on over the course of the season here on the podcast.
Check out the links at the top of the CelticsLife.com. We got a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in the store, and you can even get tickets to the next game. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, and Mixcloud. Obviously, you're listening to on one of those right now. And make sure to subscribe on your favorite one to never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, please rate us 5 stars. If you don't like something or have a suggestion, make sure you let us know, and we're just trying to give you guys the coverage you want. So from me, I'm Mark Allison, and my buddy Topher Lane. We'll see you guys later this week.
Thanks, guys.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.